TED Audio Collective.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at 3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
You're growing a business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate, no coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
A quick new idea daily from the world's greatest TEDx talks. I'm your host, Atossa Leone, and this is TEDx Shorts. Brett Solomon has been a protester since the age of 10, long before the internet brought civil discourse into a new space. While Article 20 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights ensures many of the rights of protesters, Brett cautions about the dangers of losing the full extent of those rights as organizing and protesting itself moves online. Today, Brett looks at the role protest has had in ensuring our current liberties and advocates for civil responsibility to make sure these rights survive for future generations.
Now, maybe you've never been to a protest. Maybe you don't ever intend to, but the experience that you have, the rights that you enjoy, are the result of others exercising that right to protest for you. So if you are a woman who votes, well, it's the suffragette movement of 100 years ago that we should acknowledge for your voting rights. And at the same time, if you work a 40-hour week, it's the labor movement that's responsible for putting worker rights on the agenda. Now, we need to remember that peaceful protest has been experienced all around the world. It's the right for racial justice, social justice, climate justice. In fact, the history of contemporary world is signposted with all of these events and all of these protests that have enabled us to live the life that we live today. But it's not just a nice to have. It's actually international law. And so it is our responsibility to try to ensure that that right survives. Because if the current contour of our society is based on the protests that happened before, the question we need to ask is, what will our future society look like in the absence of protests today? But with the advent of new technology, with the internet, with digitalization, particularly as a result of the pandemic, digitalizing everything, every part of our lives, the question that we need to ask is, will the right to protest survive its migration online? Protests are organized in the online environment. They're organized by TikTok, by Insta, by WhatsApp, by Facebook. From Myanmar to India, the model is the same. But it's not just the gathering or the protest, the organizing of the protest that's the issue here. I mean, it's part of the issue. The other half of it is that protest is now moving online itself. And I want to put three things on the table for you, three things to think about. One is the issue of connectivity. Only 60% of the world's population is currently online. Or if you're a woman, the less likely you are to be online than a man, again, fact, then how do you claim racial justice? How do you claim your rights to pay equity or to ensure that there is no gender-based violence in the digital environment if you're not even there. So challenge number one, we need to ensure that the world's population is online, because it's not just a question of numbers. The people who are offline are the rural, are the poor, are the disaffected, the rarely consulted and the exploited. And it's not that they need to be online, it's that they need to have the choice to be online. The second issue, it's not just about connectivity, it's also about shutdowns. There was 155 internet shutdowns last year across 59 countries. So when people may be online, but doesn't mean that they will actually stay that way. The third, perhaps most concerning issue is that of surveillance. Right now, governments are collecting data on all of us together with companies. We know that. We've seen that in real time. But it's actually worse in the context of a protest. So your faces, your biometrics are being collected. And when we think about the role of the state in the context of protests, new technologies are emerging all the time. The problem, of course, is what happens to anonymity? Because anonymity is the foundation of privacy, and privacy is the bedrock of our democracy. So the problems are multi-headed. We have the problem of connectivity, we have the problem of internet shutdowns, we have the problem of surveillance. Governments are making decisions about the regulations and the laws, and companies are deciding about the human rights implications of their platforms and what policies and practices they should have in place. How do we ensure that all of us have that safe and welcome opportunity of a future? There are hundreds of organizations around the world that are fighting these battles in real time so that the future society that we live in is positively guarded and guided by the protest and the expression that we're able to safely engage in today.
The TEDx talk you just listened to was recorded at a TEDx event in Byron Bay, Australia. All TEDx events are independently organized by volunteers who believe in TED's mission of ideas worth spreading. Special thanks to the organizing team at TEDx Byron Bay. Want to listen to more TEDx talks? Visit our website at ted.com/TEDxShorts. I'm Atossa Leone. Thanks for listening and see you tomorrow.